Terrific. Good afternoon, everybody. Connecticut Interagency Drought Workgroup meeting of December 10th, 2020 at 2:04 p.m. We will call the meeting to order. As we've been doing, I'm going to just run down through each of the agencies and announce their voting member, you know, from the designee. Obviously, using the attendance list, if there's something different, please let me know. But under DEEP, Doug Hoskins, DPH, Lori Matthew, OPM and myself, Martin Heft, DOAG, Steve Anderson. And I did not see somebody on from DESP, Demis, either Brenda or Doug at this point. So we don't have someone from there at this point as for voting. And we'll update that if they should join us through the meeting. With that, we'll move on to the approval of minutes of November 5th. If we could get a motion to accept those.
So moved.
Thank you, Lori. Is there a second?
Second.
From Steve Anderson, is there any discussion changes?
That second was from Doug Hoskins.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Appreciate that. I saw Steve's hand go up in the video there, and maybe I missed the voice. Apologize. Thank you.
Beat him to it, I guess.
Thanks, Doug. any corrections, additions, changes? Hearing none, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on, we have next order of business is our 2021 meeting schedule, which was sent out this morning, basically looking at keeping it on the first Thursday of the month, unless that first day of the month is the first day of the month or is a holiday, which would be in April and July. Obviously, we wanted to just make sure we have this on everyone's calendar for the year. They would be canceled, obviously, if not necessary, but knowing upcoming, once we kind of move out of this drought cycle, we do have some other work that needs to be done, some updates possibly to the plan and some other best learned practices, if you will, from working through this. So we do want to have some meetings on the book, if you will, moving forward into 2021, in hopes that they won't have to be used for real drought, but for other working pieces. Is there a motion to accept the meeting schedule as presented?
Motion to accept.
Thank you, Doug. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Lori. Any discussion, changes, concerns?
Just a comment. I think
sure.
it's a great idea.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate getting them on the calendar.
Yeah.
Good thing.
Terrific. All those in favor then? Aye.
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 Thank you. Moving on then to item five, discussing the current conditions, areas of improvement, degradation for each drought region by county. I'm going to turn this over to Eric. If we could pop up just the map, if you would, of the Connecticut drought declarations, just to kind of review everybody where they were last updated in November. Our fifth meeting, recall the last meeting, we did not make any changes. That under stage one is Fairfield and New Haven. Stage two is Litchfield, and the rest of the state, Hartford, Tallinn, Windham, New London, are stage three, moderate drought. We did not make any changes, as I recall, from the last meeting. And we do have some the updated trigger summary charts, if you will, that were sent out for stage two and three, which I'll have Eric go through and highlight the changes that were done in all of those. And then we'll move forward to the next step if there's additional information people need to present from what was sent out. So, Eric?
Yeah, thanks, Martin. I'll just do a new screen share now with the conditions report that was sent out earlier this morning. Okay, so just a quick synopsis of what we've seen since the last time we met in early November. Basically, major improvements in all of our drought indicators. Precipitation certainly returning to normal or above normal. We've received a lot of rain over the past month. Some big storms have come through. Reservoirs filling back up. Certainly the agricultural indices, the Palmer drought, the crop moisture index, they're the positive, big time positive for the first time. Remember that positive numbers here indicate wetter than normal conditions. Negative numbers are drier than normal. Fire danger, DEP issued their last forest fire danger report for the season on December 4th. They typically do not issue forest fire reports in the winter months unless necessary, unless it's deemed necessary. So conditions are low, and they will be low unless DEP has to, you know, make an update there. U.S. Drought Monitor has, for a few weeks there, we saw incremental improvements. I believe this is the first week that the today's release of the Drought Monitor was the first week that we actually saw it remain static. So it stayed the way it was from last week, which is remnants of D0 in eastern and central Connecticut, and no category at all for Litchfield and New Haven and Fairfield counties. So going back up to the top of the chart here, the two indicators that are primarily still we're watching here are the groundwater and stream flow. In both cases, we're seeing improvement. Groundwater wells, we're seeing basically skyrocket back toward normal conditions after all the rain we've had, but still not there yet in a number of wells. Stream flow, same thing. Every time we have a rain event, obviously streams fill up and afterwards they recede less. So the recession point for the stream, for most streams, is, you know, they're maintaining better base flow, and that's probably partially due to increased groundwater contributions too. So with that said, we're still meeting certain stations for groundwater and stream flows are still meeting drought triggers for stage two in a number of counties, and in stage three, there's fewer, but still several, particularly in central and eastern Connecticut. And so that's the overall picture, Martin.
Thank you, Eric. And Eric, would you just could you touch base, or if Bruce knows, whichever, stages of what I believe Massachusetts made changes today?
Yeah.
Just as a reference, so we kind of see what our neighboring state was doing. I don't know if we have Rhode Island either, but.
Yeah, Massachusetts, their drought management task force met this week. They have elected to reduce their drought stage down to a level one for the entire state. Level one is their lowest level of drought. So they've elected, you know, they released a press release. They sent it out this morning saying, based on their findings, conditions are improving, but there's still cause to remain at a stage one until further improvement is noted. So that's what I have from Massachusetts. I don't have an update from Rhode Island at this time.
Okay, great. No, thanks. That is helpful on that. So I'm not sure if there's any agencies that have any additional information that they need to bring up. I know historically what we have been doing the past at least few meetings is not going through full presentations by every agency on this, because it has all been sent out, and then just kind of doing this recap and any specific highlights that anyone needs to be brought forward. Obviously, we also understand that, you know, getting this morning, you may not have had a chance to look through everything before this, so want to see, you know, what the pleasure is of the work group, you know, of this group, whether you prefer having the full kind of presentations, if you like more of the recap because you have all the documentation already. Obviously, it's our work group. We can handle this however everybody likes. I like, you know, personally, you know, the trigger documents that Eric just went through are very helpful of kind of doing it. And the other is the backup kind of for that, which is good to have that for me. I don't need the full, you know, presentations of everything, but getting, you know, highlights is also important as well. So I'm not sure where other people feel on that just as we, you know, kind of move forward with this. And then also, you know, as I mentioned, if someone has additional information they'd like us like to bring up as, you know, the next steps will be, you know, making decisions on each of the counties.
So Martin, this is Lori. I like going through this summary and I think this makes a lot of sense. One thing I wanted to bring up, and you know, Steve Harkey's on, my page is on, our reservoirs, 70% are still below normal. So, you know, that's just something to note. You know, that's still a high number.
Right.
It still is a concern that we have. And even with all the precipitation that we've had, the snow that we've had, we're still at 70%. Obviously, we're still watching all of this week to week. But, you know, that we count on reservoirs being full or at near full into the springtime. And one thing that we're carefully watching for is a 2-year drought. If we go into the spring and reservoirs are not full, that's very problematic. So just anyway, at 70%, that number surprised me. Anyway, so just to note.
Nope. Thank you, Lori. That's good information. And also thinking about, you know, that 2-year drought possibility if things, you know, on that is.
Yep.
Are there other agencies that have any, you know, comments on?
Well, this is Doug from DEEP.
Yeah.
Doug, just Doug. A comment on your, Martin, your comments about how to present the information to what detail. Like Lori, I like the summary that Eric gives, very critical. However, as Lori just did, if there's any kind of finesse or nuance or emphasis that anybody should put on the data in the table, that is also very helpful. But not just to repeat what's in there.
Correct. Yeah, thank you. And that's kind of the way I like it as well, that if there's something else or something we missed or, you know, something that needs clarification or additional points made on it, you know, definitely those need to be brought up, you know, through this. So, you know, greatly appreciate both those comments and, you know, agree with them.
Yeah, so John yep. Mullaney from USGS. I just have a few little things to add without going over the summary that I sent.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to add, in looking at our criteria for stage 2 and stage 3, I wanted to point out that during the month of November, for instance, at all of our stream gauges, we only had 7 out of 64 that were below normal for the median flows were below normal for the month of November. Most of the reason that we're still at stage 2 is because of the because of the criteria themselves, which require. Can you scroll back to stage 2? Yeah, so our stream flow 2 out of 3 months below the 25th percentile, or 4 out of 5 months, those criteria. And so even when we get a normal month, we basically are shifting back to the criteria that we had the previous month if we had extended. And the same is true for the groundwater levels. Anything that was below normal for consecutive months prior to November is still classified as below normal, but it automatically goes to 2 out of 3 months. So just wanted to point that out. The groundwater levels, quite a few of them were below normal at the end of November. But what really changed is about we did see some major rises in groundwater levels, probably right around Thanksgiving. So and things really shot up, and we've had some really dramatic rises in our real-time wells, and almost all of those are back up into the normal range. I even have one that's in the above normal range. So just wanted to let you know that those were some of the things to point out with respect to those groundwater and stream flow.
This is Bruce, and I would just like to jump in and say that what John just pointed out highlights how broken our drought triggers are for coming out of drought, and that I would recommend we ignore them because, the fact that groundwater in a particular well has recovered, it doesn't matter what it was 2 or 3 months ago. It's back to where it belongs if we trust that it's a valid measurement, that it's not short-circuiting or something like that. It doesn't matter what it was 3 or 4 months ago, honestly. One of the interesting things to me about the groundwater measurements, and this I think is kind of the groundwater equivalent of what Lori Matthew had mentioned. If you look at the real-time well up in Northwest Connecticut, up in Salisbury, it's a sand and gravel aquifer well, if I recall correctly, and mm-hmm. it's been recovering since maybe early October. I mean, it's been climbing steadily ever since, but is still not all the way up. And we're coming into the time of year when a number of our wells begin to stop rising because of winter, whether it's because precipitation is piling up as snow or because the ground is freezing and there's no further recharge going on. I don't know what causes it in Connecticut, but it's entirely plausible that some of those wells like that could stop recharging for the next few months. So it would be kind of the equivalent of a reservoir, going into spring with a reservoir below normal. We may find that we have sand and gravel aquifers that are going into spring below normal. And we really have very limited information available about that. So to me, that's probably the most alarming thing of all, is this one well that's been recovering for months, but isn't quite there yet.
Right. Yeah, I think that's an important point to make, Bruce. And, what some of the things we look at is, when do we start to recover? How long do we recover for? How high does the water level get? And when does it start to recede again? Those are the kind of things that sort of send us towards where we're going to be next year.
Right. Well, thank you both on that. That's, good information and perspective as well.
And I'll just add, Martin, speaking of nuances, in addition to, the problems with the criteria for groundwater that John and Bruce pointed out, just want to make folks aware that even what's reflected here on the chart is actually only through the end of November. So we have had 10 days in December as well that we've seen further improvement in precipitation that's not reflected here. So just want to point that out.
Yeah, and I would add that stream flow for December right now is all, there's no streams that are currently below normal relative to December monthly criteria at the moment.
Great. Other comments, other items, points that people need to bring up on this?
Well, just listening to the last, between John and Eric and Bruce and Doug. Where is this? What direction does this information provide us for the decision that we have in front of us? I guess. Does this point us in the right direction? Do we have the right direction? So I don't know. The more people added to the conversation, the less confident I am. And when I first thought of all this when you sent this out this morning. We took a look at it. We looked at the information. We had a conversation about it within our team. And, you know, we were thinking, well, you know, we probably should step back into a stage one. But, you know, the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking that, you know, we have to be careful stepping back. You know, it's always in any emergency, the toughest part that we found in anything is stepping away, right? And ramping down. It's hard. It's not that easy. And if, like to Bruce's point, if the measures don't make sense altogether, then it's even more difficult. So could we be facing a 2-year drought? I don't know. It's concerning. We haven't had, and it's been a long time. I know there's some people on this call that have been around a long time. It's been a really long time since we've had a back-to-back severe situation. And it might go back as far back as 80, 81. You know, Doug, you've been around a long time. So I don't know if you're recalling, but this, we don't want to be saying, let's just go back to stage one. Don't worry about it. I don't think we're there. I think we're still at a stage two, where we are in stage three. I think we have to watch this very carefully into January. We have to be mindful of a 2-year drought and the messaging that we're sending to people as we step into the spring. So that's just my thought. Well, I'm just thinking out loud, which is always very dangerous too.
Anyway. No, all of that's appreciative, Lori, because, you know, I look at it and seeing that, okay, knowing, you know, numbers where we're at and looking at these charts, but knowing that, okay, we received, you know, significant rainfall compared to, you know, other times of the year over the past couple of weeks on here. So some of the trends itself, which also we have to look at, you know, in this, besides these triggers and nothing, I mean, this is all kind of guidelines. So nothing, you know, it's, you know, it is hard because I mean, and I've talked with media, others have here as well, you know, and they'll say, oh, we got rain, so we're out of drought, right? It's like, well, no, that only helps one piece of it. We've got all these other triggers, all these other pieces that we have to look at through all of that. And, you know, along with these triggers is look at what is the trends. You know, yeah, we're not having the hot, warm weathers right now, which is evaporating the water that we do get, you know, on it. We have had some more rain, everything else on it. And I know we were very cautious at our last meeting not to, you know, step back on it, and that we wanted to wait another month to really see, even though we knew some predictions of rain coming, you know, for that. And looking at, you know, that cautiousness we took last month, I think it's the same, that there's no harm of, you know, continuing that cautiousness, you know, going into January to see. I think that, you know, we can pull out, you know, possibly, I think, as you had mentioned, you know, like the stage three and move them down to a 2, leaving the others at a 1, you know, and that may be what we do all January and kind of continue monitoring to see where we're at. You know, could be a possibility. I mean, the other possibilities, you put everything at a stage 1, you know, and you look at it that way. I don't think we're at a point, you know, we're necessarily want to pull everything out at this month, you know, in December and say, okay, boom, we're completely out of the drought piece, because there are some, you know, still some concerns in certain areas there. Some of them are more isolated, as we know, down in New London County, down in the, you know, the lower corner there. There's still some, you know, more probably significant issues than there are maybe up here in the Hartford region for that, but we can't isolate out just by, you know, a certain little, you know, one pocket or one municipality that might be having some issues for that. So I think, you know, looking at the cautious approach is, you know, downgrading, lack of better, you know, words on it, you know, or lowering the stage levels, you know, would be the possibility of doing that until January, and then reevaluate everything to see really where we're at.
Yeah, and this is Britt Westergaard from the Albany National Weather Service. Nicole sends her apologies for not being able to make it, but just to muddy the waters further and follow up with what Lori had said and some comments that Eric had made, you know, there's some really good news on the 1-week to 2-week horizon as far as rainfall forecasts. but the seasonal forecast still has, you know, equal chances, which means, you know, a third of a chance possible, you know, a third of the time when you have a setup like this, there's below normal rainfall, a third of the time there's normal rainfall, and a third of the time there's above normal rainfall. So no clear climate signal for the sort of December, January, February outlook timeframe. So just for your consideration, so short-term prospects look great for the next week, and then the 8 to 14 week also looks pretty good. But after that, things become kind of unclear.
Thank you for that.
And good afternoon, this is Maria from Pura. I'd like to add to it, based on my information, we had meeting with Aquarian Water Company. Although Fairfield County got a lot of rain, their reservoirs are not full yet, and Aquarian is still keeping the drought trigger 3. And they will wait until January to see how full their reservoirs are going to be.
Okay. Any other comments, thoughts? Because then we're going to have to go through and look at, you know, each county or and look if we want to make any modifications to it or make modifications as a whole. So we want to make sure everyone's got any questions or any other comments they want to get out before we get to that next step.
So I know that the temperature outlook, is it higher than normal? I know we were looking at that too, but I can't recall.
Yes it is, Lori. Okay. Apparently that's I'm a hydrologist, not a climatologist, but I'm led to believe that during La Nina winters on the East Coast, we're you know, generally above normal temperatures are to be expected. But again, that's a seasonal trend, right? That doesn't mean that we can't have you know, cold snaps, what have you. But yeah, that's sort of the seasonal outlook, and the seasonal outlooks all reflect that too. Basically, every outlook from 8 to 14 day all the way out for the entire winter shows above normal temperatures.
Okay. Thank you.
And Britt, Doug Lowacki usually is able to provide our weather outlook, forecast outlook, but he's not available and not on the call today. Are you able to speak to, he did send a note that's included in the packet. Are you able to speak to any other thoughts on the extended forecast for the probability of rainfall and how much we may receive?
Yeah, I just took a quick, I mean, I'm not super in tune with the day-to-day forecast, but I took a quick look, and actually, since yesterday, our 7-day forecast totals have come up some. So it's looking like somewhere in the 1 to up to 2 inch range total for the, which I think is pretty close to what Doug had here too, is for our official Weather Service forecast for the next 7 days. And then the 8 to 14 day was also for above normal. So yeah, some good news drought-wise there.
Okay. Thanks, that's helpful. Appreciate it. Okay. Anyone else before we kind of move on and look about maintaining or modifying current drought stages?
Yeah, Martin, I have a quick question for
sure.
Eric.
Go ahead.
And you mentioned Massachusetts. I opened up the map that Mass had, and what are they based there? Are they like us? Are they looking at all these different metrics like we do, or do you have some info to share there, just briefly, maybe for Mass?
Yeah, Lori, it's actually very, very similar to what we do. You know, their structure is a little different in terms of how they operate, but it's the same thing. You know, they're looking at the same sorts of indicators. They have one thing that they weigh a little more heavily on are some fire indices that we don't have, the Keach-Byram Index, for example. But otherwise, it's you know, their plan is for them. I mean, they have different thresholds in their plan than we do, and perhaps, you know, we should be, you know, looking at what other states are using for thresholds, but they're looking this at groundwater, at stream flow, precipitation. Obviously, they also, one thing that's unique about Massachusetts is they will sometimes designate a drought declaration by basin, by watershed basin, instead of by county or by drought region. They actually, they don't use counties, they have drought regions defined.
Regions, yeah. Yep. That's interesting. Yeah, they, yeah. I guess they don't follow their counties. They have
they're pretty close to the county boundary, though. They're almost the county boundary with a few exceptions in Southeast Mass, I think, from what I helped work on a drought app for them. So I think it was a few different towns as you get into that sort of south of Boston area where they swap boundaries on a couple of the counties.
Okay.
They use specific criteria for stream flow and groundwater levels, like, you know, a specific percentile, but they take the median percentile of each drought region.
Hmm. Because it's interesting that when they're on the drinking water side, obviously they have that enormous reservoir, you know, in central Mass, right? And that serves so many, the population, the Boston area. So it's just interesting how they would look at that. Anyway, just thinking out loud again. All right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Again, they're so it's an interesting setup. Their water supply is quite interesting. So.
It may be worthwhile, if we're going to have regular meetings going forward as we get into a time of no drought. Hopefully going forward, perhaps to have an occasional meeting every now and then to have a presenter come in and ask a presenter from Massachusetts to come in or from Rhode Island to talk about what they do and how they differ from us. And just for informational purposes and professional development purposes, to have those types of presentations, it could be helpful.
Yeah, I
agree with that, Eric. Good. Doug?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Martin. I was just going to add, it would also be helpful to get some input from the National Dues Program to us directly, one-on-one. They're coming up with some great forecasting procedures that are pretty avant-garde, and we may want to consider.
Good point, too.
Yeah. Just one other quick point. Bruce was talking about how coming out of the drought really is not the way that our triggers are set up. But also the names of, or one particular name of one of our stages, drought two, stage two, incipient drought. I mean, that's geared from the perspective of an oncoming drought, not really a drought going away. Just a minor nomenclature point.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's people on from the public, and I know that they're listening. So, you know, maybe the people can help us think through, you know, stepping out of this is difficult. And so a lot of these were set up for us to think through how to step into. And maybe not the other way around. So, everybody's thoughts are more than welcome. But I do like the idea of, looking forward to bringing people in to present to us, or even having a meeting with our colleagues from Massachusetts together, if we, maybe at some point in the future.
Yeah, that is great. And I think, Lori kind of, hit it perfect too, is that, the plan wasn't set up for, drawing back from it, everything. It was like going into drought. This is how you do it. It doesn't really talk about how to, okay, what do you do to, retreat from it or get back out of it. So that's always, the difficulty piece, and something that we could work on is being like, okay, what is our criteria, or how are we going to manage, stepping back from this stuff, on it, or, putting that into there. And I know we've got a few other minor, glitches and everything else that we, need to work through, moving forward on this. So just kind of trying to recap a little bit as we, you know, move forward looking here of what we're going to do. From the sounds of everybody, obviously it does sound like obviously we want to move the entire state out of, you know, the stages for this. It sounds like there is, you know, about, you know, moving maybe the stage threes down to a stage two level, you know, which could happen, you know, on it, and then just leaving the rest where they are. Or you could look at stage two ones and move those to a stage one as well, if need be. So there's a couple of options there if we want to look at, you know, where things are now in stage one, two, and three. We can take each county by county for this and go, you know, that way. I think we've got enough information to kind of do something. And it, as I said, it doesn't sound by any discussion here that will, you know, obviously take all of Connecticut out of any of the stages, you know, at this point, more so waiting until January when we have, you know, see where we're at before we withdraw completely. For that. So kind of looking at direction people want to go or a motion to do, if you want to look by which counties are in stages or would you rather go county by county?
Martin, this is Bruce. And
yes,
I just wanted to point out something because I've been thinking a lot the last number of weeks as to how we should be refining the plan, you know, in future months to handle stepping out of drought. And 2 points loom large. One is that, like right now, if we were not in drought in any part of the state and looked at our criteria, I doubt we would even bother meeting, let alone be designating anything as being in drought. Stepping out of drought, however, we would want to be kind of the opposite and be much more conservative about stepping out. But one thing I think we need to keep in mind is that we want to be able to escalate in the spring if things start looking bad. And if we're leaving things at stage two, that means nothing can happen. We can't announce anything until we reach stage three levels. So whether it's done today or whether it's done maybe in January, it seems to me that we should be heading into winter at, say, stage one, that we're at a level of awareness, whatever that term is we use for stage one, but we have the ability to escalate it up to stage two with any sign of trouble. And I think from a public outreach perspective and from catching the attention of media, that gives us the most power. That would be better than leaving anything as, say, a residual stage two, which really does us no good at all. And I'm off my soapbox now.
Okay. Nope. Thank you, Bruce, for that. Other thoughts? I know if we kind of look, you know, I'm looking, you know, once again, it's just, I'm going back to the, you know, some of the trigger charts and everything else and where, you know, most of, you know, our, you know, groundwater stream flow seem to be, you know, the ones there. We've talked about some of the others, even with reservoirs and everything else on it. And the levels, you know, I think I would be fine, you know, looking, as Bruce just mentioned, about putting, you know, the entire state in stage one and looking where we're at, you know, for this and then read, you know, and then in January, obviously consider if we're still having, you know, things are dry. That does give us the opportunity to move things back up if need be, but because of, you know, the trends and where we are going on things, things are, have been getting better. They have been progressing. That does give us that option and some, you know, leverage, if you will, as Bruce mentioned.
Hey, Martin.
Yeah, Eric.
A member of the public has requested to speak. I'm not sure if now is an appropriate time or not. It's Alicia Sharma.
I'm sorry?
Alicia Sharma has her hand raised.
Sure. She can go ahead. Alicia, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to reinforce what Bruce just said. As a member of the public who also tries to communicate your decisions to the public, I hadn't even thought of that, but I think he's absolutely right, because a lot of the actions that the public would be taking right now really are they're outdoor watering and things that the public would not be doing right now. So I kind of agree with Bruce that we need somewhere to go in the spring if things start to get bad. And of course, just my humble opinion from the public.
Nope, I greatly appreciate that. You know, all input is good, and that we're all here together to work together on this. So, you know, we appreciate that, Alicia. Thank you.
And this is Doug from DEEP. As far as I can see on the data, the groundwater seems to be the lagging metric, which isn't unusual. And I think we can consider that as part of our professional judgment to not ignore, but just to say, and perhaps acknowledge that it may take a while to catch up. But from what John was saying, it's showing promise also as far as recovery, if I understood that correctly.
Yeah, at least from our real-time sites that we have, they really have risen dramatically just since Thanksgiving. So, you know, I sent Bruce a couple of graphs just to show examples, but, you know, there's definitely a big increase there. So it's looking pretty good, and we just have to see where we go from there, say, next month.
And the drought plan does specify that, you know, not just the levels, stream flow and groundwater levels be considered, but also the trends. Where are they going? What direction are they going in? So that is written into the plan, that the IDW should be using that information as well in making its determinations.
Where do we have comparison to 16 and 17? Do we have an idea of where we stand with that comparison at this moment in time? It's something we should be thinking about.
Not anything I've seen or reviewed.
Eric or Bruce or.
It's possible that we could, you know, there's been some good work being done on the review of the 2016 drought by a subcommittee from the implementation work group. We've been really documenting pretty well and reviewing how the 2016 drought unfolded.
Yeah.
It's possible that we could do some comparative analysis. I'm not sure, because our record keeping during the 2016 drought was not as good as it is during this drought.
Right. So I guess, could I ask a quick question maybe to John, and maybe Eric, your slide back up. And I guess what sticks in my mind is the comment that John made about recovery of, you know, because the two metrics we have to pay attention to here are the, you know, stream flow and groundwater. And if things have improved much more since the time of these measures, and we're ahead of, because I've been sitting here thinking about it, if we're ahead of where we were in 16, because in 16 we were still awful. It was terrible. If you all remember that time, that it wasn't raining, it wasn't snowing. And the only time we recovered was really like, it was the beginning of March from what I remember, end of February, beginning of March timeframe.
Yeah, I'm looking at just that November 2016 conditions. I just happen to have an app open that I created where I can go back in time and look at our statistics from those months. And, you know, the whole middle of the state, we had a bunch of areas that were in there 9 months below normal stream flow.
Wow.
You know, or, you know, somewhere in the 6 to 9 months in the middle part of the state. Mm. So it's we're definitely doing better than we were at this point in
November.
Yeah.
That's Excellent.
Yeah, the only similarity would be with the reservoir levels in lower Fairfield County, because they managed to go through so much water this summer. But
yeah,
that doesn't, you know, match up with precipitation or groundwater or stream flow or anything else. Maybe what we need to do is add a criteria that is lawn watering in Fairfield County.
You said it, I didn't. Right? However, you read my mind, Bruce, right? So, you know, there's things we need to fix, right? And we can't fix it here.
Right.
But there's things we should talk about when it comes to overuse of water and drinking water in particular for lawns. That's a whole other category. But this, so John, that's really great to hear that about 16 and where we are in comparison.
If you like, I can send out to the group after the meeting. I can send out kind of just a couple of rough maps. I have to rerun them though, because one of the things I can do is I can actually go back and rerun them based on statistics that we had. You know, the statistics that we used then, which would mean, say, I might stop at the end of 2015 in order to, you know, kind of run the statistics up to the year before, basically.
Okay.
So I can send those out if anybody's interested. Just kind of a quick and dirty couple of maps.
That would be good to see. That would really be good to see. But
Okay. Well, obviously there's lots of, you know, things to continue discussing, you know, with this and other things that we have to modify or change and look into, you know, moving forward here, but kind of, you know, get us back, you know, to what we need to do is, you know, figure out what do we want to do with each of our counties at this point, you know, between now and, you know, before, you know, January meeting. You know, one recommendation is put everything back to a stage one on here, to put all counties back to stage one. You know, obviously we could also look at, you know, you take everyone and move them back, but nothing below the stage one, put the stage two at stage one and the stage three at stage two. But I mean, I think those are kind of the two options at this point. You know, it seems to be the most reasonable and cautious for us moving forward into January. It's just more, you know, some of it is comfort level as well as, you know, moving forward into January of where, you know, we want to be, and obviously looking, you know, through the winter months and, you know, continue monitoring and everything for having to raise things back up again, you know, to those levels of where they're at.
So Martin, I like the idea of what Bruce said and what Alicia commented on about maybe January we go to one statewide, but we're paying, you know, in drinking water, you know, our reservoirs, we're still watching week to week. We're not going to stop that work. We'll continue to share that information. But I sort of like that idea, because then if when we meet in January, we then see that we're not improving, we, you know, things are going south a bit, then we can make a maneuver into February, into March. If we stay in two for some of our counties, then it's harder to, you know, the messaging is important to people going into the spring. But I don't know. I have a 3 o'clock meeting, and we have 8 minutes.
So, do you want to make a motion to that effect of putting them all into, you know, put the state into a stage one for all counties?
I want to be true to the discussion. I know we've had, we should probably look at the county by county measures. And that's my thought, you know, since it's here and there are differences here. So, yeah.
You know, we can do that. We can take each county by county and go through it.
Yeah.
You know, the main ones, as we've kind of talked about, not moving, you know, things out of the stage one. So it would be leaving Fairfield, New Haven as stage one. Otherwise, it's removing them completely. And we've, you know, we basically said not doing that. So, there's, yeah. Thank you, Eric. There's no other, I don't think there's any other discussion on that from anybody, correct? Leaving stage one, obviously, where it is. Yeah. Okay. Then if you look at the stage two ones, Litchfield and Middlesex, we can take them individually if you'd like. Mm-hmm. For that, Litchfield is less actually than Middlesex in some of the trigger areas and everything on there. But I would see those being fine to move back to a stage one.
Can we look back at Eric's chart?
Sure. Go back to the
Middlesex, yeah.
The stage two one, the stage two
yeah, the
chart.
Stage two one, yeah. I mean, is there anything that stands out that we should be concerned about with those two of stepping back?
I mean, I have less concerns with Litchfield Middlesex than, you know, thus say it's like New London, you know, which is, you know, definitely higher numbers there and everything. And that was our area that seemed to be the worst, you know, through these. But, you know, I think we have to look at it as if we're just looking at those items that are not, you know, that are in the orangey, you know, lighter tan colors, you know, which are those, you know, numbers two and three. We're kind of at those same number. If you look across, you know, the lines, besides New London being at 100% on each of those, you know, we're ranging from 60 to 80% underground water and anywhere from, you know, 30 to 50%. And under stream flow, they're kind of all same area except for New London.
Right.
You know, on that, which, you know, if you're just looking at those, it's like, well, do you leave, you know, New London at a stage two because that's our worst area and move everything else to a stage one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, as we've seen the New London County has kind of, you know, been one that's been progressively worked down on the Rhode Island border. That's one that's had, you know, some more, you know, severe drought, you know, conditions that we've seen that have extended longer. So that would be the county that, you know, personally, I would see that if, you know, that I would leave at a stage two and then possibly moving all the others to a stage one.
I would be okay with that. That makes sense to me.
Others on that have other thoughts on it, because otherwise we can do a motion to that effect, you know, but I don't want to make sure everyone's got some input here if someone sees something different.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Doug, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I could go with that.
Could you? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Weren't they the first county sort of step into this, right?
To stage three? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because then, you know, Hartford Tom Wyndham got added after that. New London was the one that got triggered higher up earlier on, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do we want to do a motion then to put New London at a stage two and the rest of the county in the state at stage one?
Yes. So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
A second from Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Okay. So any other questions on that? Then what I'll do is just call for a quick roll call vote. Doug?
Here. You want to vote?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
Roll call vote. Affirmative.
Thank you. Lori, DPH?
Affirmative.
Thank you. OPM, Martin, yes. DOAG, Steve?
Yes.
Yes, and I don't believe anyone from DESP, Dennis, came on, correct?
This is Bob Kenny. I just came on a few moments ago, so I would concur based on the conversation that clearly you all had with this.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bob. Welcome.
Sorry, I was late. I had another meeting I was in the middle of. It was not planned. So.
Not a problem. Understandable. Okay, then that motion carries on that. I think, you know, we can work on, you know, for what actions need to be taken place. It's more of just making sure notification goes out that we, you know, move these to this area there. We can make sure that our, you know, coordinators get all that information out to everybody on that side there. Anyone else have anything on that topic?
Martin,
yep, Lori?
How do we communicate this? Is this like just a general letter, or are we going to issue some sort of press?
I think what the plan will be is that we will, you know, do a, you know, press release as we've done in the past, out, you know, stating that we are, you know, changing these declarations, you know, of the counties, you know, for the reasons, you know, that we've noted already. So yes, we would do the standard, you know, press release that we've got now and ask that, you know, all of the regional coordinators be notified.
And that release would be reviewed by agencies prior to issuance?
Well, typically what happens, OPM sends it to the governor's office for concurrence, but we could definitely, the smaller group as we've done, you know, because we had recommendation pieces in there, we can, you know, do that. We'll do that process that we, as we have been doing.
Great. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yes. Okay. So yes, that is. So it's moving New London to a stage two and the rest of the state to a stage one.
Yes.
Correct. So everyone's just clear on what's happened there. Terrific. Thank you all. Item seven, Eric, the drought action team update. I know they have not met, but there's some other pieces of what's been going on with all of that and continued work. So would you like to touch base on that, Eric?
Yeah, that's right, Martin. The action team has not met since October. Basically, ever since conditions reversed and we started to see improvement, we've just been maintaining, you know, the ongoing actions that we put into place. For example, Demis communicates weekly with the municipal drought coordinators to keep them in the loop on weather forecasts and so forth. I'm sure they'll be sending out a message to them next week following this change in the drought declarations, so making sure we're keeping them involved. Website updates, things of that nature throughout the period, but really it's been sort of a wait and see because we stayed with it from the November declarations until now. So that being said, I think it would be worthwhile to use the action team. I see Lori just, I don't know if Lori just left or not, but.
Yeah, she had a 3:00 meeting.
Oh, I see. I think it would be worthwhile to use the action team to do a post-drought analysis on this particular response. I know that, like I said before, there's some 2016 drought post-response analyses being done through the Water Planning Council's implementation work group. That's going to be great work that's happening there and some good reports coming out in the coming months. But I think it's important to, you know, in this drought that we just went through with the new plan for the first time, to do a look back in a very timely manner while it's all fresh in our heads. So we're not losing those fine details and the nuances of how things unfolded, because as time goes on, people sort of forget, oh, that was an issue. That's right. And we can't really remember that well. So I think to the extent people are able to that are on the call, you know, start jotting down notes. If you haven't already, start jotting down things that, as you think of them, that are issues. We talked about today on the call, again, we've talked about it before, the issues with some of the criteria and the triggers for coming out of drought, particularly with groundwater. So things like that, there are several of them that we've experienced, and I'd like to get the action team together over the winter probably to start to look at that. That would be my recommendation.
No, that's great, Eric. Thank you for that update, and thanks to that whole team that's been working over the past few months and getting all of this going. And I think that kind of adds into kind of what items for upcoming meetings of this whole group. Obviously, next meeting of reviewing where we are at and continuing monitoring, but also working on some of those suggestions Eric's just talked about as well. And as well as looking at, other future meetings of, meeting with Rhode Island, meeting with Massachusetts to see, how they process their drought management and some best practices. Any other thoughts on either the drought action team or items for next meeting or upcoming meetings? Okay. Hearing none, the date of the next meeting is January 7th by our newly approved calendar. And with that, at whatever time it is, 3:05, we can take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Doug. All in favor, aye.
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 Everybody have a wonderful, safe holiday season, and we will be in touch with the draft releases and everything from today's meeting. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks,
take care.